A little while ago, I was in discernment, trying to figure out the next steps in my career. I was looking at two different job prospects and trying to decide where God might be calling me. It was one of those times in my life where I desperately wish God would just speak directly to me and point me in the right direction. I was looking for some kind of sign or indication, but try as I might, I liked both positions. I liked both churches, and I believed that God could be calling me into either place. I also knew that I didn't have to make this decision alone. I knew that there were people in my life that I could talk to, people who I trusted and respected, that loved me, that I knew would be willing to help me wrestle with this discernment and could offer me wise counsel. So I began to reach out. I hear this kind of wrestling being done in our reading today from the books of Acts. The verse from Acts that we read today is from the very beginning of the book. Most biblical scholars believe that the book of Acts is actually a continuation from the Gospel of Luke and stems from the same authorship. The Gospel of Luke ends with Jesus leading the disciples to Bethany, blessing them, and then rising up into heaven. And the book of Acts picks up at this same spot. A few verses before our reading today include Jesus' last blessing, instructions to the disciples, the appearance of two men asking the disciples why they were still standing there looking up into the sky, and then giving them instructions to return to Jerusalem. And then our reading today. We see Peter emerging as the leader of the disciples, giving them instructions on their first task in this new ministry, replacing Judas so they can return to 12 disciples. Some scholars suggest that this has to do with a connection to the original 12 tribes of Israel, but we're not told exactly why they need to replace Judas. We're also not told why they choose these two candidates. But they have, and Peter confirms their credentials. They've been part of the group since the beginning, since Jesus' baptism by John, and they set out the process for their decision-making. Prayer, and then casting lots. Now, casting lots is not a random act like flipping a coin or throwing dice. It was believed to be a way that people could allow God to show them how to proceed. It was a type of discernment. In the story of Jonah, you might remember that the sailors cast lots to see what's causing the great storm while they're out sailing, and it falls on Jonah. The Greek word for casting lots is kleros, which is the word that clergy is derived from. It is a way for God to make known God's desires for us. In my discernment process, casting lots wasn't really an option, unfortunately. But like the disciples, I prayed a lot. And part of my prayer practice was asking God to show me what I needed to hear and what I needed to understand. I was not doubting God's presence in the process, but I needed help to see the Holy Spirit's wisdom and guidance. And that prayer rooted me in my discernment. And then I began to do some of the work. I reached out to my spiritual director. She gave me guidelines and suggestions to follow. I called up a couple of people who were familiar with both churches and talked me through the pros and cons. And I made a spreadsheet, not a surprise, and I looked over the insights and the wisdoms I had gathered on this list. And I prayed some more. And then with the help of my spiritual advisor, I sort of tried on both of the job positions. This role play that we did together, centered in prayer, allowed me to realize where I felt drawn towards. And once I had that realization in me, this sense of peace just came over me. I knew immediately that I had my decision. And I am still grateful today that I am here at Resurrection. Those four small words, "and then they prayed," are one of the most important elements in this reading from Acts today. And specifically, when they prayed. They prayed before they made their decision. They prayed together, and they asked for God's guidance. It's not unlike how our vestry, our church board of directors, prays as we begin our monthly meetings together. We often pray here at church before we begin adult formation classes or committee meetings or small groups. Many of my classes at seminary began in prayer, and I learned to pray before I entered anyone's room when I was making a hospice chaplaincy visit. So why do we pray in these times? Well, I would suggest a couple of reasons. It often feels important to state the invitation of God's presence into that time and place. We know that God is with us always, but sort of like breathing, we don't always think about it unless something goes awry. We often need to ask for God's help, not because God doesn't already know our needs, but more as a reminder for ourselves to know what we can do and what only God can do. In my discernment process about these job positions, I knew the tasks that I could do: contact people to seek advice, draw up spreadsheets to collect all my information, and ask people to pray for me. I knew that God was the one that would need to show me where I was needed most and where I was being called. And this is what the disciples did as well. They had collected names and come up with the two finalists, Joseph and Matthias. They had outlined what these two were being called into, namely to be a witness. And in this case, the Greek word for witness that's being used means one who can testify to the truth because they have experienced it. This word is also related to our word martyr, which is exactly what these two men were committing to. At this point, they knew that being associated with Jesus and his teachings was going to rile up the authorities. And they knew if they spoke the truth that their lives would be in danger. So I imagine that Joseph and Matthias also had some discernment to do as to whether they would agree to be part of the 12. We weren't told what the discernment was, but I don't think you probably take up this sort of case without doing some careful consideration. We also don't get to hear any more about Matthias in the book of Acts, but tradition tells us that he was sent off to what is now present-day Turkey to witness and to share the gospel there. Matthias was ultimately crucified, and he holds the special distinction of being the only disciple chosen by his peers to join them. I would also argue that he was probably the only one that had a really clear idea of what being a disciple would mean when he said yes. I think perhaps that is the last part of our prayer life that sometimes gets lost. Because occasionally in our lives, God calls us to do things that we just really don't want to do. Maybe we feel that they're beneath us, or that they might be boring or messy or scary. Maybe they're paths that will take us away from the familiar and the comfortable places. Maybe they're the places that will force us to rethink our assumptions and have to relinquish some of our status or privilege. And maybe they're going to have to be with people we don't like and we just can't get along with. You see, when God calls us somewhere, we don't have to listen. We don't have to follow the calling. We can ignore God. That is what makes us human, and that is our gift of free will. Sometimes ego, stubbornness, anger, fear can all keep us from following God's calling for a long time. I would even argue that people can carry it for the rest of their lives. So the last part of the prayer often needs to be the yes. Sometimes it's asking for the courage to say yes. Perhaps it's asking for guidance to know how to say yes. But you have the privilege, as a child and a creation of God, loved by God, known by God to the detail of each hair on your head, to decide if you will say yes. And I pray for each of us to ultimately get to the yes in our lives. Amen.